Thank you for listening to Internet Boyfriends. Internet Boyfriends.
She's jealous, isn't she?
No, I don't think so.
To Internet Boyfriends.
We are really bad on staying on top. I fucking apologize to any listeners that think that we're organized in any fucking way.
And you're listening to Internet Boyfriends.
The Nazis are back, and they're flying over, about to bomb fucking Toronto, duck and cover.
Krampus!
Like, just fucking...
Yeah, like, I wish I had a better way of describing that so I didn't sound like a fucking racist. Like,
it's terrible!
I'm a big fan of pickles.
I'm telling you what I learned from television and Wikipedia.
She really likes how I say audio.
I know how the internet works.
Internet Boyfriends. See, again, I got my fucking... I'm holding a big yellow legal pad in front of me with all these things just, like, scribbled on top of it. I actually... Top thing I wrote on here was Pusher Man by Curtis Mayfield from last week's episode.
Nice.
That's funny. Yeah. So, anyways, welcome to another episode of Internet Boyfriends. We're getting a little bit better at getting more directed and right to the intro so that we can get focused on the topic at hand so we're not running on for longer an hour. But I did want to throw in, before we get too far into the episodes, that I wanted to thank... let me do this first. So I'm Joey, and with me is my internet boyfriend, your internet boyfriend. I don't really know another one of these intros off the top of my head, so here he is. Ryan.
Hi.
So, I wanted to throw out a thank you to everybody that sent me any sort of messages about the episode about the hospital, because I got a lot of responses back from people, and pretty much, as far as I know, pretty much everybody that listened to the episode sent some sort of something like, hey, thanks for saying that, or, you know, even Wonder Alley said, you know, like, oh, you're really brave, and so on and so forth, and I just kind of confused when she said, because I'm sure I know what she meant, you know, I'm really brave to share what's going on with me and my personal problems. But I thank you for calling me brave, miss, but I'm not really that brave. There's totally people, like, for example, we know a guy who is named John, and he's way more brave than I am because he's actually a social worker who tries to help people like me. That's bravery. Somebody who goes out there every day. And the best part about it, I shouldn't say the best part about it because it's not best about anything. The most brave thing about it was the fact that when talking to him, he immediately shared with me that he goes out there every single day and he has no idea if he's making a difference whatsoever. And I can tell him for sure, I really didn't have that successful of a social worker when I was in the hospital, but I've dealt with social workers, I've dealt with psychologists, I've dealt with psychiatrists, I've dealt with all kinds of people. And anybody who's actually trying to make a difference, anyone who's actually helping, it really is making a difference. It's the people who are apathetic about it and just there because they're there. I mean, and I don't mean to say they're apathetic because they're bad people. It's probably because the fucking job kills you after a while. You know, you just there doing the same thing every day and can't help people or whatever else. And I hope it doesn't happen to you, John. And thank you for doing what you do. And thank you for all of you for a response back from that show. So that's my little thing there. So now that's over, we can talk about the topic at hand this week, which is we're doing our year-end best of episode, I guess. I don't know. We said top five, right? That was what we were going to do.
We talked about top five. We talked about our favorite of assorted categories. We'll just play it by ear, I guess.
Yeah, we'll just talk about things. So what do you got to start with? What's your from 2010, what do you like? What you got?
Let's see. For TV, let's go with my favorite thing for TV was Community this year.
Okay.
Which has been consistently the most imaginative and funniest and at times heartwarming TV show on television, because that's where they are. It's for the three or four, actually, I'm pretty sure everyone who was listening to this knows what Community is, but maybe 20 years from now you're listening to this and you're like, what was that show that Grandpa Ryan was talking about? Grandpa, yeah, right. That Ryan was talking about.
I think this would be a Grandpa Ryan. Don't
not in 20 years. In 20 years is cutting it kind of short.
Yeah, that's a good point, yeah.
Anyway,
let's hope not, Grandpa Ryan, in 20 years.
This is a concern.
What the hell did you do to your kid? Yeah. 20 years.
Assuming I have a kid, which is unlikely, and they'd end up being some sort of early...
Crack whore.
Yeah. Anyway.
And their kid loves podcasts.
Loves, yeah. Their infant child that is... Oh, Jesus. First off, having a grandchild in 20 years is one thing. Having a grandchild old enough to listen to podcasts is a whole other story.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Hey, kids grow up fast.
They do. And their language skills develop very quickly now. Community is about, it stars Joel McHale and Chevy Chase and Ken Jeong and Donald Glover and other people, Alison Brie and other people, yes. Who aren't other people because they're not as good, but I'm only going to name a few people at a time. And it takes place in this ridiculous community college. And something they've been very good at, and it's about the study group of these people and antics ensue. They've been very good at, in general, at developing the characters and coming up with very funny premises, and they're often very, very meta. There's a character on the show named Abed that is sort of us in the show talking about what's happening. Recently they had an episode where they were in the study hall the entire episode, and Joel McHale calls his girlfriend and says, "Damn it, I have to cancel our date. We're having a bottle episode," because a bottle episode is an episode that takes place at one location and one location only. And Abed called it that beforehand. They're also very good at theme episodes, or gimmick episodes would be better. They had a brilliant episode that you've probably heard of called Modern Warfare, which is the quote-unquote the paintball episode. Where
I've been specifically keeping my you're informing the hell out of me, because I know I saw the first episode and I really wanted to watch it, and then everything kind of went off the rails. So ever since then, I've been kind of keeping it as one of those things where I don't want to hear anything about it. You know, I just want to. It's a good show, it's still good, awesome. I'm going to watch it, but I mean, obviously, I'm interested in what you have to say. But
yeah, I won't
really
go into too much detail
it,
then. The Modern Warfare is a spoof of sort of post-apocalyptic and war movies. There was a zombie episode. Most recently, the Christmas episode was entirely in claymation of a – not claymation, but a stop-motion animation of a Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer style.
That is fucking awesome.
There's an entire episode where they're in the KFC space simulator. There's a spoof of the Secret Guard. Like, it is my favorite show on television right now. It's my favorite comedy in years. It has supplanted It's Always Sunny. It's supplanted 30 Rock. It's giving Arrested Development a run for its money.
That's impressive. I gotta watch this show.
Amazing. And I am I can't say enough good things about it. I really can't. And that's my it's one of my choices for top five things of the year.
Hey, sounds good to me. I know that's definitely something that should be on my list, because it's something I wish I kept up with.
You have to watch it.
I really think now, after we're done talking today, it's not on DVD yet, is it? Because that would be.
The first season
is on
DVD,
my...
I believe.
Oh, fucking sold! Yeah, I will. I think that's going to move up my Netflix queue, and I will be watching that very soon. Especially if it's not, I don't think it's on Instant, but obviously I haven't been keeping up with Instant, because as of this airing, I will have been like voraciously watching everything on Instant. But I haven't had Netflix for a month, so I'm kind of out in the cold for that one. So, but anyway, speaking of Netflix, and we're speaking of TV. The one show that I have seen this year that, speaking of Arrested Development, that I absolutely fucking love, Archer. Archer on FX was fantastic. And I really hate to say that it's the best show on FX, because I know that Sonny has been, I think, pretty solid. And Louis has been absolutely fucking fantastic.
Oh,
and
I love Louis.
Yeah, I love Louis C.K. I love his show. Everything about it was awesome. And even, I have never watched a show where they can take it to an emotional, like, wow, holy shit, I can't believe they're doing this. This is really powerful and something. And then you're fucking cracking up laughing the next second. Like, Louis definitely is. Like, everything about his mom, everything about with him and Nick DiPaolo in the hospital. Like, everything about Louis was fantastic. But that's not my pick. My pick is Archer. And if you're not watching Archer, you're fucking insane.
I'm both not watching it and know nothing about it. But you're describing it as the best thing on FX and related to Arrested Development in some way makes me very interested.
The reason you don't know anything about it is because it only ran, and I'm actually kind of feeling like an asshole because it might have run in 2009, started in 2009, but I discovered it in 2010. For me, it's been in existence in 2010 because I don't watch TV excuse me, and I watched everything on Netflix Instant Watch, and as soon as the first season wrapped, they threw it up on Netflix Instant Watch. So earlier this year, I started watching it, and I have rewatched the first season, because it's only like 6 episodes. I've rewatched it like 5 or 6 times since, because it is fantastic. It's a parody, obviously, of spies and a spy network, and you follow the titular character, Archer.
Now, is it animated?
It's animated, okay. Yes, it's animated. It's from the guys who did Frisky Dingo. And I've never seen Frisky Dingo, and I'm very tempted not to watch any of Frisky Dingo, because it kind of seems... Like, I love Aqua Teen, I love Venture Brothers, I love a lot of shit from Adult Swim, but I know that they can get fucking... When they do a show that runs for longer than a couple of seasons, like Aqua Teen, I feel like Aqua Teen was best in its first, like, 3 or 4 seasons, and then I'm done with it.
For
like,
the most part, really... Yeah.
Yeah, I really don't need to – like, I know it's a good show, and I know that if I watched Aqua Teen – a new episode of Aqua Teen right now, I'd probably laugh my ass off. But I get done with these things really quickly because there's not a lot of continuity. And I know Frisky Dingo has some, but Archer has more. Anyways, I just feel like Archer is the better show, and I'd rather watch Archer again than watch Frisky Dingo. So if anybody's pissed off at me for saying that, whatever. But anyways, Archer – is H. John Benjamin, who's a fantastic voice actor and a fantastic actor, fantastic comedian, everything. I love anything H. John Benjamin. I love. I don't really. Obviously, most people would know him as Coach McGurk from Home Movies.
Okay.
Other people would know him as the can of vegetables in Wet Hot American Summer. So.
Oh.
I love saying that. It's always like, who's H. John Benjamin? Like, he's the can of vegetables
That's
in Wet
awesome.
Hot American Summer. Yeah. We had no point. We had no reason to be in Vietnam. You want to smear mud on your ass, do so, but be proud of it. Like,
if anyone listening to this has not seen Wet Hot American Summer, do yourselves a favor and watch that movie. It is amazing.
Yeah. If you like us, you'll like Wet Hot American Summer. It's a hell of a movie. Anyways, so Archer is about following the main character and about his like career as a spy. And he's part of the spy organization run by his mother, who is played by Jessica something Walters, I think, who was the mom on Arrested Development. And she is even more abrasive and fantastic than she at times ever was on Arrested Development. Like, she is really well done, like, because she's over the top on Archer. And I really felt like they kind of held her back a little bit. As insane as that sounds, I really feel like they kind of held her back to let other characters shine on Arrested Development. But Lucille was one of my favorite characters on Arrested Development. That actress is fantastic.
Well,
she's even better in Archer.
Judy Greer does a
What's
voice?
That?
And Chris Parnell
yes,
does a
she
voice?
Is. Yes, yeah.
Oh,
I'm still saying.
Okay.
Like,
I need to watch
it's
that show.
Great... It's a great fucking cast. It's what's her name? What you just said her name,
Judy Greer.
Yeah. So she was the secretary in Arrested Development.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
She's also the secretary on Archer.
Okay.
I really feel like they took a lot of parallels from Arrested Development, just moved it straight over to Archer. But I'm totally okay with that because I'm a huge Arrested Development fan, and I'm a huge spy satire. I've loved anything like. There was a movie when I was a kid in the 80s about like Corey Haim or somebody, whatever, that goes to like Europe and he's like, and they mistake him for some sort of 007 James Bond type character. And they're like, yes, you have to do this. And it's like him with a flying car or something. Like, I don't know. It's some crappy movie. But let's move on to the next thing. What's your next
Archer, season 2 starts January 27th, 2011.
Yeah, see,
so
there you go.
I will watch the series by then for sure.
Yeah, Aisha Tyler, Chris Parnell, Judy Greer, H. John Benjamin, Jessica Walter, what's her name, the mom from Arrested Development. It's fantastic. It's all
Jeffrey
great.
Tambor's in it, too, a bit.
Yeah, and Jeffrey Tambor's in it, too, so he's awesome, yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's a lot of people you know, and they're all really good, and it's a really funny show, and I really like saying wah, wah, which is a thing on the show. So.
Okay.
Anyways, what's your next item?
Fun Comics, which was my cop-out way of including Thor the Mighty Avenger, Batgirl, She-Hulks, and Power Girl under one category. It was a good year for...
I thought I missed something that was called Fun Comics.
No.
It
was a very good year for... I don't even say lighthearted, but like Kirkman's been doing a good job of keeping the fun in comics, but even lately, Invincible's been a little heavy. But,
I don't know. I like it. I like Invincible.
Oh, I love Invincible, but
it's not fun anymore. Yeah, I agree. It's
still fun because Ollie does the bit like it's big and colorful, and it's but it's It's not, like, most of the comics from Marvel and DC are like, oh, it's a serious business, blah, blah, blah. Whereas you have these little pocket books where, like, especially, well, I have two from each, so, Power Girl and Batgirl were both, I only read Power Girl while Jimmy Palmiotti, Justin Gray, and Amanda Connor were the creative team involved, or the primary creative team involved, and it was one of the best runs of comics I've read in years. I'm a huge fan of Amanda Connor now. I didn't know her before then, but since that I've become a huge fan of hers. And it's smart, it's fun, it's funny. They have a spoof of that, at one point a character spoofing Sean Zardoz comes and shows up.
Yes. The giant head spaceship.
Yeah, yeah, it's amazing.
I love that comic too. I'm trying to just let you go because I agree with everything you've been saying, but Batgirl is
similar while tied in more to the actual continuity of the universe, but Stephanie Miller, who was spoiler, Stephanie Miller? Stephanie, we'll just say what? Stephanie. Who was spoiler? And
I'm not. I haven't read Batgirl yet, so don't
very,
be saying nothing.
Very,
about
no,
that.
Her name. Her she used to be spoiler in the comics.
Okay. I'm an idiot. Gotcha.
That was her character's name. Stephanie Brown, because Brian Q. Miller is the writer. That's why I was briefly confused. Stephanie Brown is Batgirl, and it's fantastic. She's in college, and. She's funny. It's very much similar to Power Girl. It's funny. It's smart. It makes me smile the entire time. It's had great art from the beginning to end. Now it's Dustin Nguyen who's drawing it, who's fantastic. Although I really loved the sort of more TV cartoony style previously, as opposed to the more stylized style of Nguyen that is now. But it's still fantastic. The writing's still top notch. And on the Marvel side, the Marvel's version, for a lot of people, because is She-Hulk's, which is sort of the Marvel's take on... It's not Marvel's take on Power Girl, but for people that missed the Amanda Connor run on Power Girl, this will work for you. It's Ryan Stegman is not similar, but he does that very great facial expressions. He does very pretty ladies without being cheesecakey in any way. Harrison Wilcox, it's a big fun comic book of Jennifer Walters She-Hulk and Bruce Banner's daughter from an alternate future, Lyra She-Hulk, and they're capturing the Intelligentsia villains, which is, I'm not going to go into detail, but it's the super smart villains of the Marvel Universe. The Mad Thinker, the Red Ghost, MODOK, people like that.
Yeah. MODOK is super smart. Yeah.
He is, though. Yeah. He's a giant brain, essentially. And it's another big, fun, like... It's not. I don't know that there's a reason that it's women as the lead characters in all these books, but even in Thor the Mighty Avenger, which has unfortunately been canceled, and She-Hulk's is only a miniseries, but... Thor the Mighty Avenger prominently features Jane Foster as it's not the main character, but might as well be the main character. And Wonder Ali on Twitter calls it my boyfriend Thor. it was in the past tense, because by the time you read this, number 8 may have come out. Listen to this, number 8 may have come out. That's the final issue. It's Chris Somney drawing, and he's a beast. He's unbelievably good. And it's a great. It is no way at all in the Marvel 616 continuity. It's its own thing, but it's like Thor land the traditional Thor story. He lands on Earth. He doesn't know why he's there. Blah blah blah. But he meets Ant Man. He meets Fing Fang Foom. Does he meet? I can't remember now. He meets Namor. He meets Captain Britain at one point. And they obviously every time he meets one of them, they fight, because that's what happens when superheroes meet for the first time. They fight. And it's light, it's fun, but they all, while being fun, are also really well written, really smart, really good, and not well read enough, because they don't quote unquote matter, which is fucking bullshit and pisses me off, and that's a thing for another day, because I will go off for a long time on that, for comics that don't quote unquote matter.
Yeah, yeah. Now I'm with you there. I think that's a whole episode we could do with just the two of us just going back and forth, because I fucking hate that shit too. But I will I know that I'm supposed to say what right off the bat what my comic of the year is, and it was The Outfit by Darwin Cook, because I fucking love Darwin Cook. Mm-hmm. But that's I don't even want to talk about it, because I know that everybody that listens to – anybody who's anybody in comics knows who fucking Darwin Cook is, and I know he does solid work. And I love the book, and I'm just going to fucking gush about it. So it's a great book. Go read it if you like it. That's my pick for 2010. But I want to say that you have a much better pick than I do. Not in my opinion with quality, because obviously I fucking made my pick and I think that's a better book, but I really like the idea. Somebody was yeah, fuck you, whatever. Somebody was having a conversation, I think it was Wonder Ali and Twist and a couple other people were having a conversation on Twitter about female leads in comic books, and I would totally rather I felt like an asshole because I threw out a comment and I really didn't think it through when I said it, and I said something along the lines of like, I think that it's better to have a strong female lead because I feel like they're better written and I feel like it's more interesting when I can identify with a strong female character as a man than with a strong male character, because the strong male characters tend to be along the lines of like, I've got big muscles and big guns and that's the end of the story. But with strong female characters, they actually – people who are writing strong female characters seem to be able to write them better than strong male characters, because strong male characters are just – that's the way that it's always been, you know, and it's just like it's an archetype. It's a cliche, you know, whereas strong female characters like the Power Girl series, I fucking loved. It broke my heart when Amanda Connor and Palmiotti left that book. They did leave. It's 12 issues, right?
Yeah, they did a solid 12 issues. Their story was done. It's still going on, but it's a different. Jed Winnick's writing it now, and I forget.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it as much.
I've never even tried it, so I just was like, this is time for me to leave.
Yeah, I remember picking up, and I think I picked up the issue after they had left, and I was kind of like, this is not the same. Anyways, they were talking about all these different books and female leads on Twitter and everything, and I really hope that 2011 is going to be a big year for female characters, what major female characters, because even somebody like Squirrel Girl gets like serious press now because everyone's like, hey, this is awesome. That's why I kind of like Jason Aaron just wrote a thing about how now the books are Marvel books are $4, like it really sucks to write for Marvel, because if you're not writing something that's like mired in continuity, fans don't want it because it's not a good book or whatever else, and so on and so forth. Whereas I'm in the complete opposite, and I know, like I said, we probably will do a whole episode about this, but you know, I've always been the fan of, I want to read good stories, and it just seems like better creators are tending to go to writing better, stronger female, realistic female leads. If there's any one criticism I had of my other favorite book from 2010, which was Scott Pilgrim 6, it's that Ramona was one of the best characters in Scott Pilgrim, and I felt like she got the series ended, and I got really not a whole lot of closure with Ramona, because you see so much Scott, and I know it's Scott's book and everything, but fuck that. Ramona was so much more of an interesting character than Scott. I'm Scott. I feel like I'm fucking Scott Pilgrim right now in my life, and I don't need more Scott. I want to read more about Ramona. You know, and that's the thing, is I really, as a manly man, and, you know, like, I read comics about Wolverine and so on and so forth, even though I really don't, but I always would rather read, like, I just finished reading The Guild. I did a review of The Guild this week, or last week, or whatever week, and reading about a female character that has no friends and is kind of going through a shitty time in her life and so on and so forth, and is trying to find a new outlet for her creativity and meeting new people and so on and so forth. I don't know, like, for some reason, I just kind of get the feeling that maybe writers like Felicia Day and Amanda Connor wrote Power Girl.
No,
who wrote
she
Power
drew
Girl?
Power Girl. Palmiotti.
She drew Power Girl. Palmiotti. Power Girl. Yeah. So, I don't know why, but they're writing characters that resonate with me, and they're female. So I don't know. That's why I find them interesting. So I hope that's the way things are going to keep going in 2011. So, but that's just me. So. You want to talk about movies or video games or
what
else?
Yeah, you did just mention Scott Pilgrim. Yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily my favorite movie of the year, but it's the one I'm most interested in watching again, is Scott Pilgrim.
I really want to see the bonus scenes for it.
I do too.
I really hope they included that ending with
where
the thing that happens.
Yeah. If you haven't read Scott Pilgrim or anything, fast forward a little bit. Give me like literally 5 seconds. The other ending where Knives is the girlfriend he chooses. And we're back.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I basically going to buy a Blu-ray player in order to watch the extras because most of them are only on the Blu-ray.
Yeah, I hate that shit. I will never. I'm
by which I mean
I'm
buying a PS3 finally.
Oh, hey, all right.
That's my.
Why?
I'm going to. That's like I've as a Blu-ray player primarily because I don't play enough video games to really warrant it. But if I'm going to buy a Blu-ray player, I'm going to buy one that can also play God of War 3.
Gotcha. Okay, no, fair enough. So I was just asking if there's anything in particular. So no, I'm sure I want to check out too. So.
I finally bought, like, I bought Lost and Battlestar Complete Series, and I figured I bought them on Blu-ray because sooner than later I'm going to have a Blu-ray player.
I never do that shit. That so scares I'm the going hell to, out of me to buy it on a format I don't have.
That actually, very brief digression, funny story. I got my first Game Boy game. I got before I had a Game Boy.
Okay.
I mean, old school, like, olive and black Game Boy. My mom found it in the leaves at school and picked it up and brought it home for me and then bought a Game Boy shortly after.
Well, look at that. I've never had that experience. So I've always bought things first, like the player first and then the format later. So,
Scott Pilgrim, I actually saw a little early because we got to see it at the Fantasia Film Festival in Montreal. Okay. And not as early as Joe could have seen, but did not.
Oh, bull. You know what? The more I think about it, the more I'm glad I saw it with the crowd that I did. And
oh, I understand.
So, because I liked the movie a lot. It was not my favorite movie of the year, and it was fair. It was a good movie. I love it because it's an Edgar Wright movie. Yep. I don't love it because it's an adaptation of Scott Pilgrim. So, you know.
I can't imagine a better 2-hour adaptation of 6 books of Scott Pilgrim. Unfortunately, I don't think there's a way that it could have been in multiple movies and successful because it just wasn't going to happen.
So one movie wasn't even successful.
Exactly. So I'm happy we got it in the way it was. I still thoroughly enjoyed it as its own story based on it, but it still is its own story. Everyone that's complaining about the lack of depth or the rushed Ramona and Scott storyline, I can totally see, and I do not disagree. It just did not bother me as much. I saw it in a packed house full of Scott Pilgrim fans, so it was a huge, everyone was way into it and excited, so I was like, it was a great energy, and we're all like, "Wah, Scott Pilgrim!" And all the video game nods and all the brilliantly done special effects stuff, at, like the P-meter and Kieran Culkin, and it was he was so good.
Yeah, he stole the show,
I loved it. I fully loved it. And I'm very excited to watch it on Blu-ray when I get my Blu-ray player, hopefully early New Year. And, yeah. It was not my favorite movie of last year, but it's the one I'm most looking forward to. Like I said, it's the one I'm most looking forward to seeing again. And the one I think I'll probably... like. Inception was clearly a better movie but I'm not in as big a rush to rewatch Inception as I am to rewatch Scott Pilgrim.
I actually saw Inception twice in the theater, so I'm in no rush at all to rewatch it. I've seen enough Inception, and I think it's a great flick, and that was definitely, and it's kind of sad because I had I picked between like Iron Man 2 and Inception were my two favorite movies this year, I think, and I really neither one was that. Like, Inception was good; it was a great movie and everything, and so was Iron Man 2. I thought I thought Iron Man 2 was a little, you know, but like it wasn't as good as Iron Man 1. But whatever. But still, I keep reading now. Like, now it's the end of the year. I keep reading articles and people are saying like, I don't understand why the movies didn't do that good this year. Like, why is Social Network not too good? I didn't even see Social Network yet. I haven't seen it.
It's
waiting for it to come on DVD. Oh, I'm sure it is, yeah. But I just haven't. I have not. There has been very few movies this year where I've wanted to go to the theater because there's just shit I don't. I want to see Social Network, but I really have no reason to sit through that in a movie theater and pay fucking $20 for me and somebody else, you know, at a time or whatever, you know, to go see. It doesn't, you know, didn't really fucking make a lot of sense for me. So I'd rather just fucking watch it at home from Netflix or whatever, you know. And that's the thing. Next year. Or even starting now, like Tron is coming out, so Tron Legacy is going to be out, and I'm definitely going to see that in the theater. Thor, I'm going to see in the theater, and obviously Captain America, all these big Green Lantern, all these big movies that are coming out that are, you know, look interesting and different than what I've seen, you know, maybe they're too different, but still, like, they're something different, I guess. And I want to see them in the theater. They're the kind of things that are drawing me out. And I'm not saying I don't want to go see like small like art house movies in the theater because I've seen Memento. I've seen all kinds of movies in the theater. I just prefer to see movies that are really interesting as fuck and worth the money. Yeah. And now that movies are fucking over here, they're over $10 a ticket.
Here they're $12.
Not
cheapy or non matinee price, but yeah, it's $12.
It's probably $12 here. Yeah, so that's about right. Whatever. So. So I liked Inception. You liked Scott Pilgrim, you said, for the top movie of the year?
Top, but my favorite, or the one I want to see again.
Oh, by the way, before I forget about comic books, I wanted to say that even though I liked what you had to say, and obviously I had to say what I had to say, I really wanted to point out that I like the ongoing Chew. Chew has been great. It's really good this year. I really liked the ending of Ex Machina. I like that series a lot because I'm from that area. So I'm in Jersey right by New York, so kind of hit home a lot, and the whole 9/11 thing and all that kind of stuff. And I like Brian K. Vaughan, so I thought it was a great book. Yeah, I thought it was a great book. I thought it was a great ending. I thought everything wrapped up really well. I read X'd Out not too long ago. I was sitting in the bookstore reading X'd Out. So I don't know what to say about that just yet because I liked it, but I really wouldn't really recommend it. But whatever. And also, I did a review not to one of my first reviews I've ever written. I really don't do comic book stuff, and I'm trying to do that now more for the site. So the first Saturday I ran a review of Sweet Tooth, and I said that I really wouldn't recommend Sweet Tooth to people because I thought it was a smaller book that was kind of personal to me, and I didn't know how other people would like it, and so on and so forth. But oh my god, fucking Sweet Tooth has been out of control. Like, that book is, again, probably my favorite ongoing of this year was Sweet Tooth.
Sweet Tooth, fantastic.
Yeah.
It's really, really fantastic.
Kind of rounding out the other books I really liked this year, I really liked Incorruptible and Irredeemable, but Irredeemable. I know that you didn't really like those books as much, but I really liked them.
They just didn't grab me as much as you, that's all. I read the first few of each and then sort of dropped off, that's all.
Okay, fair enough. I like what Mark Waid's doing, so good. I'm kind of glad he left as the CCO of Boom Studios so that he can kind of focus on the shit that I like, because I really couldn't give a fuck about what kind of business they're doing over there as long as they're selling me books. Jesus Christ. I have a giant list, and I don't know how to fit all this stuff in here, so I'm just going to start yelling out things. We talked about last night we were doing the VGA live blog thing. Now we're recording, so it wouldn't be last night, but it'll be whenever, back in time. But Red Dead Redemption won Game of the Year at the VGAs, and that was probably the only thing I agreed with from the Video Game Awards, because I really thought that Red Dead Redemption, I think that video games are kind of more comparable to TV than movies, because movies, you know, you get 2 hours and then that's really kind of it, unless there's a sequel. But TV, you tend to see like a good chunk of the characters. Same thing in video games. You tend to see like about 30, 40 hours of a character depending on the game. And a game like Red Dead, you definitely see 30, 40 hours of all kinds of characters. And while I wouldn't say, I've told other people in the past that it was like the best thing to hit video games, in the sense like it was like a TV, it was like kind of an adaptation like The Wire in like, you know, cowboy times, but it's I would never compare it to The Wire, because more and more I've been thinking I want to rewatch The Wire and thinking about how great that show was. Yeah. And Red Dead is not The Wire at all, but I would say that if I had to compare it to another TV show, it would be Scrubs, because I have an appreciation for Scrubs, because it's one of the few shows that I've seen that I wouldn't say it's a great show. I'd say it's a good show, and I'd say it's a good start, and I wish that they would have done a lot more with that show in a lot of different ways, but that's a personal preference thing, and I know that video games are personal preference. It's all personal preference, so whatever. But Scrubs, I've seen a couple episodes just sitting and watching them, and I really don't know the characters that well, and I really don't know a lot about the show, but I still watch an emotional episode that they do, and I still feel like, hey, this is a pretty well-done emotional episode. There's a couple different episodes I've seen on Comedy Central that I've kind of caught in reruns where I'm like, holy shit, this is a pretty well-done show, you know. And then I felt the same thing about Red Dead, where it was kind of goofy, kind of a somewhat serious, somewhat goofy, somewhat emotional, somewhat not, somewhat action, somewhat whatever. It was all over the place as a game.
Similar to other Rockstar games, but I guess they were more successful at it, or?
Oh, they were way more successful at it. And a lot of people hated it because there was a lot of times where you're riding places on horses and people were just talking. And people were like, I don't like fucking having to sit and listen to people talk for 20 minutes on the way to a mission. Number one, you never riding for 20 minutes ever in the whole game. I'd say the longest I've ever rode on a horse consecutively is maybe 5 minutes to go across the whole fucking map of the game. But, you know, really, there's a lot of times when you're riding the places and people are talking. But it's good storytelling, because it's just a bunch of people bullshitting about something that kind of matters on the way to a story mission that also kind of matters. It dragged a little bit in the middle of the game, but I still felt like it was by far the best game of the year, and I really recommend it to anybody. Even if you don't like video games, it's worth giving it a try, because if you're definitely, especially if you're one of the kind of people that will play things in chunks, it's like I played the game like pretty much. I bought the game and I beat it within, or I got through all the storyline within like a week or two. So like I blew through that game. If you're somebody who's going to take maybe a month or 2 months to get through it, I would definitely say it's one of the best games you will play possibly ever, because it's such a great environment. Everything looks amazing. You know, it's just a really fucking cool story, a really fucking cool world, immersive as shit. You know, it, even when you're just walking down the street and you're, you know, going to the saloon or something and you see the cops, the local marshals are pulling out a guy out of the bar and throwing him outside, or, you know, somebody, you know, taking a hooker out of a bar and trying to stab her in the face because she cheated him out of a couple bucks, and like little things like that. It was a cool as hell game, and I really hope that they can do stuff better in the future and more, you know, shit that may actually make sense. Because that's the thing about movies and books and comic books and existing media, they're not interactive. You know, they have to be good and they have to be interesting and they have to catch your attention. Video games have to immerse you in what you're doing. To be, in my opinion, to be successful, if they're not engrossing you in what you're doing, they're failing. And Red Dead did that for me. So at the very least, I think it's a fucking great game. So anyways, what else? What else do you want to talk about?
I don't know. What else do I have in here? I have Terriers. Which was the brilliant and now done TV series. When we first made this list, I was like, do I really want to recommend this when there's 12 issues done and there's the 13th on the way? And since then, the 13th episode has aired, and it was fantastic and capped the series perfectly. However, the show has not been picked up by FX, and I can't really blame them because it had terrible ratings. But it is the... It could have been The Wire.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I really feel like TV executives don't really understand shit about how I watch TV, because I would totally fucking buy that. I probably will buy that show on DVD.
And
but,
perhaps if enough people do, like with Futurama and Family Guy, it could come back. Who knows?
I highly fucking doubt that.
I would be shocked because it does not have anywhere near the geek or mass appeal of a Futurama or a Family Guy.
Yes,
but
even a show like The Walking Dead,
it's not unprecedented. It has happened before. I am definitely not expecting this or holding my breath in any way, shape, or form. But Terriers is essentially a PI show, although neither of them are licensed detectives. But it takes place in San Diego. And if you haven't watched it, some shows that get canceled after their 13-episode allotment or after one season are really not worth going back for, because they end abruptly. Or they don't have a satisfying conclusion, or whatever. But this is imagine it's like The Office, the UK version of The Office. You had 13 episodes of The UK Office, 12 normal, and a Christmas special, and it was a complete story, and it was great. Just imagine this is that. It's definitely worth going back. It's worth picking up on DVD. You got a full, complete story. They could tell more, though, if they wanted to, but you had a full, complete story, and it was one of the best acted, best written. Nothing was over the top or in your face. It was all subtle and emotional and very natural. And all the comedy, like, there was lots of humor in it, but it all came up naturally. There was no one wrote a joke ever. It was just natural humor of a situation, which is so refreshing on television. It's so good, and it kills me that it's not been canceled. And I can't, I will buy the DVD, because I will watch this again one day, but it's done, and I can't do anything about that.
You said like it's been canceled, so think of it as like a British series. I don't understand why more American series aren't done like that anyway. I would rather, and I'm starting to understand that might be the case with Sons of Anarchy. And I would rather, personally, as somebody who watch everything on DVD or watch the stuff after the fact. I don't mind the idea that you have one story, just like fucking slam out a season that's a story. I think it's way more respectable, because there's too many fucking shows on TV nowadays where they're just fucking dragging on for fucking ever. And I would rather, even a comedy show, I would like to see, you know, like a season and then go, hey, this is good. You know, that's what I really wish they would have done with 30 Rock, where they would have done, hey, this season is this. This season is that, you know, and then their own kind of inclusive little tales. Obviously, they can reference one another. I have no problem with that. But I really kind of do like the idea that the show is going somewhere. Because that's the reason I stopped watching 30 Rock, is because I felt like the show fucking wasn't going anywhere. Mm-hmm. And it just was because every week it was sort of just like, hey, here's another bit of wackiness that we have from the 30 Rock crew. I'm like, well, I've seen fucking 2.5 seasons of wackiness from you, and I'm kind of tired of it, honestly, and you're not really showing me anything new and interesting, so I'm done with you, and that's it. And I can do that because I watch everything on DVD, and I'm going to go just fucking rent another DVD.
Yeah.
So that's it, you know, and I know...
That's why shows like The Wire or S.H.I.E.L.D., where each season is essentially a self-contained story,
yeah,
work well on DVD, especially. And Sons of Anarchy is coming back for a fourth season.
Okay, see, there you go. Yeah, there you go. I'm good. Good. I'm glad to hear that. But I know that, I have no problem with shows going on for 12 seasons as long as it's something that I can jump into. Because even like you were saying, if I wanted to go, I really want to go rewatch, or I want to go watch for the first time Boston Public. Not Boston Public. Boston Legal, the one with the fucking
Shatner.
Shatner, yeah.
Okay.
And you said start it from the second season and go onwards because it's a much better story if you just kind of pick it up from there. And it's, you know, whatever. Like,
The thing with Boston Legal is it's essentially episodic. It's not – there's no real story per se. I never watched the first season as far as I can remember. That's why I suggested the second season.
Okay.
I think that might be when Shatner shows up or something. I really don't remember. It's been a few years. It's been a lot of years now, actually. But
I guess I'm weird. I don't know. I guess it's a simple thing to say there. So, anyways. Did you see Toy Story 3?
Oh God! Oh.
Now I kind of feel bad for saying Inception was my favorite movie of the year because Toy Story 3 was fantastic, and that was. I have never seen Cars. I'm not in any rush to go see a lot of their other movie. Like, I saw The Incredibles.
You haven't seen all of Pixar?
I haven't seen all of Pixar, and I'm not in a huge rush to do so.
Have you seen Wall-E?
Of course I've seen Wall-E. Okay. I saw Wall-E opening night. Yeah. Okay. No, Wall-E was made for me. But I think since maybe Toy Story... 2, they've been kind of like, all right, they're getting there. And then once they hit Wall-E, Wall-E was fantastic. Up was fucking amazing. And then, you know, I think Wall-E is definitely one of my favorite movies of, like,
so
all time.
Aside from Cars, which ones haven't you seen?
Shit. Ratatouille. I have seen Finding Nemo twice, but I really didn't like it. I've seen all the Toy Story movies. I don't know. I think
so. Really,
more
just Ratatouille and Cars is the ones you haven't seen.
Yeah, and Ratatouille, however you pronounce it, I will see eventually because
okay,
I love Patton Oswalt. So yeah, and I'm sure I would love it because I'm sure that it's like everything that I like in a movie, you know. And I'm sure that I would love it, but Cars, I don't think I would like.
Cars is their worst movie.
Okay, fair enough.
No question, it's their worst movie. And it still makes it better than a lot of other movies, but it's their worst movie. It's not must see by any stretch.
Yeah, anything with isn't Larry the Cable Guy in that? I think that was my reason for not seeing it. So yeah, anything with Larry the Cable Guy in it, I really don't need to see. So whatever.
No, Merlin Mann, a guy I follow on Twitter, who I love on Twitter, just reposted the final scene from Toy Story 3 on his Tumblr.
Yeah.
And fuck. Nothing has made me cry as much as that final scene, ever.
I cried more at the beginning of Up than I cried at the end of Toy Story 3.
I didn't cry at the beginning of Up, but that final scene in Toy Story 3, killed me.
Yeah.
Killed me. More than the Sarah McLachlan song in Toy Story 2, but like it's fucking
what?
Jesse song?
I don't know.
Toy Story 2,
where Jesse
is singing about how she lost her owner and blah blah blah, and it's all like Sarah McLachlan's playing in the background and blah blah blah, and it's the big crying scene of Toy Story 2.
I don't remember it. That's another thing I wanted to point out. I know that you are the kind of person that may get emotional at movies. I am not.
I'm honestly not usually, but Toy Story 3 killed me.
Yeah.
Killed me.
I definitely think that the movies I've gotten emotional at are pretty much Wall-E and Up and Toy Story 3, and that's about it. Pretty much those are the only movies where I've really been in any way moved by a movie in that sort of way. Like, obviously, Shawshank Redemption and, like, certain movies like that where I'm kind of like, hey, this is uplifting or this is, you know, whatever. You know, but really, like, fucking teary-eyed, you know, sadness really.
I get choked up relatively easily, but I was full-on tears streaming down my face at Toy Story 3. full on.
Hey, I can't blame you, especially considering that I think that Toy Story 3 hits well for our generation anyway, because that's the, like, obviously we've grown up with that kind of shit. Like, I mean, Toy Story 1 came out when I was younger, and not too young, but fairly young. And I don't know. I've been kind of watching the movies, and when I was younger, it was still kind of one of those things. It was like, my sister was more into those things because she's 3 years younger than I am, and it's kind of baby shit or whatever. You know, like whatever you think when you're a teenager, and then once you get to be an adult, you start to kind of process everything that's going on with those movies, and it's like, okay, they work on a lot of different levels and so on and so forth. And then to have Toy Story 3, where I really – I'm long past the point of where I'm giving my toys away in a sense, but from guys like us that fucking collect action figures still as adults,
I have a shelf full of Mighty Mugs. I can't.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like you think about that where you have to. Oh God. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So it was definitely. I don't want to go too much into detail about what the whole deal is, but anything regarding toys or stuff like that, because I really do think that. For some reason, it doesn't seem like the case, but our generation is definitely the group that's been able to assign, like, I don't want to say imaginary friends, but, like, you're friends with your toys sort of thing. That sort of thing. Because I know that my parents never really understood that whole thing when I was growing up. Because I never really had a lot of friends growing up until I got to my teenage years, and then... So anything before that was a lot of just like me being in my room alone reading comic books or, you know, watching a movie or whatever. And then playing with my toys. My toys had, you know, like I definitely can remember, you know, stuffed animals or toys or things that had personalities in my mind. You know, like, hey, you know, that's, you know, so-and-so or that's the other one or, you know, things like that. And they stick with me to this day, you know. And even we were digging through shortly after... watching Toy Story 3, my parents were digging through the attic, and they were like, we're throwing all this shit out. And I was like, yeah, fuck it, throw it out. If it's been in there, because I'm not a possessions person, you know, if I'm not actively using something, fucking, it should be donated to somebody or thrown out or whatever. Someone else should have it because I don't really need it. And, you know, and until I think it was, there was a couple things they brought out and they were like, what about this? We're going to throw this away. And my parents knew I knew there was one like dinosaur thing. And I was kind of like, all right, maybe not the dinosaur thing. I'll put that in my closet for now, but you know, whatever. Like I still can't like Toy Story. The best thing I can say about Toy Story 3 is that besides it being a great movie, it made me pause not to throw out the dingy old dinosaur toy that I had. So, but because I don't want that. Oh my God! Like everything that's in that movie, Jesus! I don't want that to happen to anything.
You exactly.
Know? Yeah. Oh my! Like fucking Jesus! Yeah.
Fucking that, bear. What a douchebag.
Yeah. Maybe I should say that movie fucking was terrible because it's making me rethink my decisions about objects. You know, like it's fucking hell. They're not real. Toys aren't walking around.
Yeah, but they bring you joy, so you should make sure they bring someone else joy. The main like. That's ultimately what it's about. Yeah. It's not about the possession. It's about the feeling you get from them, don't destroy them. Try to give someone else that joy you got from them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in this case, it was like it has like fur or something, so it's like it's like all gross, and it wouldn't be one of those toys that gets donated.
I had one that was like that, but full of straw, so you can never clean it.
Oh Jesus! Yeah. See, there you go. That's either you're putting it in the closet and saving it, or it's getting incinerated.
It actually did get incinerated. I set it on fire for a school project.
Oh, you son of a bitch!
This predated Toy Story, though, so I would have thought twice after Toy Story.
You deserved it. Hey, you deserved every tear that you got watching Toy Story 3. Then you son of a bitch. Oh man, I've set some Legos on fire in my time, but I don't think I've
ever... Legos? What the hell?
Yeah, Legos. Yeah.
Why would you set Legos on fire? They're plastic.
I wouldn't say I was a fucking smart kid.
Oh, it's true.
Yeah. And much dumber now that I've inhaled plastic smoke. So, but yeah, I don't think I've ever, like, I really hope I was never that kid that actively destroyed toys. Especially now, looking back on it, because son of a bitch, that movie's ruined my life now. Anyways, so, parting thoughts about 2010, anything else you want to throw on? Because I think we're running long on time here.
No, nothing I can think of. There's a bunch of music that I loved, but I can't, like... I'm very bad about talking about music in any intelligent kind of way.
Let's toss them out. What music you got?
Some stuff that came out in 2010 that I really enjoyed, or albums. Baja Bullet's Heart of My Own. CeeLo Green's The Lady Killer.
Which
has
good
Fuck
album.
You on it, which is amazing.
Yeah.
The new Kanye West album. The new Hannah Georges album. The new Holy Fuck album. Janelle Monáe's The Arch Android is fantastic.
Okay.
And
I gotta check this shit out. I've recognized like three things you've said so far. So.
My favorite new album of the year is probably Mumford & Sons' Sigh No More, which is thoroughly great.
Yeah. Rachel got me to listen to that, and at first I was kind of like, I don't know, because you know, it's kind of the stuff I like, but you know, I don't know. So I definitely would say Mumford & Sons was up there, but the Black Keys. I think Brothers came out this year for the
it
Black
did.
Keys.
And I think it did. I have really to listen to that.
Yeah, I love that album. That's a great album. I know that Clutch had an album out this year, but I didn't like it as much. But hey, Clutch, I love anything by them. The Glitch Mob album, I told you to download Drink to See. Glitch Mob, pretty cool band if you like that kind of electronica music. Lead singer of Sigur Rós, Jonsi, did a solo album this year called Go that was fucking awesome. I really like I love Sigur Rós, so if anybody ever likes them, definitely his solo stuff is just as great and awesome and wonderful. And I'm not really good at talking about music either, but it's a good album to download however you can get your hands on it. Scott Pilgrim, the soundtrack, I think I've listened to about 600 times, so that's another thing. And that's about it. Yeah, I'm not really big on music. I mean, I'm big on music. I just, again, not big on talking about music or whatever. I just wrote down some things off the top of my head that I remembered from 2010. So, yeah, pretty much I would say the one I've listened to the most was probably Scott Pilgrim. Second most, probably Glitch Mob. Third most, probably Brothers by Black Keys. So, yeah, I don't know. So there's that. So I guess that's it. And I think we're done for this week. That was our year, pretty much wrapped up all in whatever, half an hour, 45 minutes, somewhere in there, hopefully under 45 minutes.
And
so,
no, I'm sure we've forgotten a million things that were awesome.
Yeah, I'm sure. But that's why we do a weekly podcast, so we can always throw those things in later. So all right, well, I'm Joey.
I'm Ryan.
I thought we were going to do...
Go ahead, you're Joey.
Yeah, I'm Joey at Mr. Balls.
And I'm Ryan at Gobo, also on Twitter.
And thank you for listening.
Take it easy.
See ya.